one that will deliver them from the bondage that they were in over the Romans. A king that would be popular in that way. But Jesus, as he sensed and knew that he was being called to be another kind of Messiah, one that would be a suffering servant. And he heard the affirmation of God, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And then he goes into the desert where he hears the devil. And the devil says to him, what? "If you are the Son of God." Immediately right after he has heard, "You are the Son of God." And so the devil is playing in to that part of Jesus and that part of us that needs to prove, that part of us that may be a little insecure, the part of us that might have a little pride, and says, "If you are the Son of God." But Jesus, of course, is much more secure in who he is than maybe I would be, or maybe some of you may be. Because he then answers each time. And if you've been to church for any length of time at all, you've heard a sermon on the temptation of Christ, and you've heard a preacher say what? How does Jesus answer each time? With Scripture. Jesus answers with Scripture. And that's very interesting to note, and very important for us to note, that we need to have the Word of God, and we need to have it close to us and hidden into our hearts. Now, let me tell you, just quoting Scripture is not like some, you know, Aladdin's lamp that, you know, is going to make magic things happen just by, but it turns our focus away from temptation's power, and it puts it again in the direction of God. And that is the way Jesus, each time the tempter came to him, each time the devil spoke to him, he came time and time again, and responding with Scripture. When we think of temptation, you know, say, "Don't tempt me." You know, we think of it in a lot of ways. We may think in, you know, in sort of a lighthearted way, "Don't tempt me. I'm on a diet. Don't come in here with that big cheesecake. No. Don't tempt me that way." But then, you know, there's another part of us that maybe from our moral superiority thinks of really bad places that, you know, we shouldn't go. And we think of that. When we think about temptation, we kind of lump everything into that category. And, you know, the obvious temptations, yes, obviously. But I don't think that's where the schemes. The devil is very crafty. The devil is very schemy. And, you know, it's obvious if it's got a red and purple flashing neon light and says, "Girls, girls, girls," of course you should not go there. Okay? I would even say you shouldn't go close to there. Some of you, you need to make a big white line. But that's obvious stuff. The schemes of the devil works in much, much more nuanced ways to distract us and to get us off the focus of who he is calling us to be and all that we are called to do. You know, and it can come in sometimes kind of interesting and funny ways that they don't appear to be harmful, but if we allow them, then, you know, they can't. You know, this morning in the 9:30 service, and this happens from time to time, the words went out during the music, okay? And I, myself even, but I know a lot of other people, that can be a huge distraction, and I can get to thinking about the fact that the words aren't there the whole time, or maybe you get the bulletin and there's a misprint or something. And like, all your focus around that is now gone off of worship and the purpose of being there. And it's focused entirely on something else, some other place. And you just can't let that go. Your mind keeps wandering back to there. You know, Jesus goes into the wilderness seeking one voice, God's voice. But he discovers there's other voices there. There's always other voices, folks. And even when we're in the midst of holy worship, there are other voices distracting us and pulling us away. As I was, you know, thinking about this sermon, and this distractions that come to us to call us away from what we're supposed to be, I thought of something that happened to me a few years ago. And the fact that I can still remember this can tell you just how significantly bad this man's breath was. But I was about to go in and to do a worship service, okay? And you know, there's a lot of things to keep straight in your head when you're doing a worship service, right, Clark? There's a lot of things you need to be focused, you know. And I walked up to this man, this narthex, or he walked up to me, and he shook my head. And I promise you, he had the worst breath I have ever smelled in my life. I thought he had been eating directly from my cat's litter box. It was terrible. Now, do I think that that was the breath of Satan? It might have smelt like it. But no, how Satan used that to distract me was that I couldn't forget about it. I got in the worship service during the hymn. I'm going, that was the worst breath I've ever smelled. I'd love to give that man some Tic Tacs. But, you know, I wonder why. And my mind, God, I need to be worshiping God. I need to be thinking about my sermon. I'm thinking about this man's breath. Now, that seems silly. But I'm telling you, that's the way the devil works. Right? He works in those silly, stupid ways to distract us away, little by little, from what our purpose and calling is. What is it for you? Sometimes it's good things, folks. Sometimes we have to choose between doing something good and something else good, and choosing first things and then letting the other things go. I had a conversation with a friend of mine just before I went to Honduras. I was having lunch with a friend, and he was talking about his struggles as a pastor. Now, I'm going to tell you, this guy is known for his preaching. He is one of the best preachers, orators in our conference, and he works hard at his craft. He spends many hours honing and working and crafting his sermons. And so, but he told me that he was working one night and to study at home, and his little son, he's a young guy, his little son came up and said, Dad, can you come read me a story and tuck me into bed? And he said, yeah, just give me a second. Go on in there, and I'll be in there in a minute. And he said he lost track of time, and then he realizes that it's late, and he goes in. His son's already asleep, and he said his heart sunk, and it was broke because he realized that he was taking something, which is a good thing, sermon preparation, good thing, wanting to be a good preacher, a good thing. And he allowed it to distract him, to tempt him away. The temptation of getting up and delivering the powerful sermon on Sunday morning was such a temptation in that moment that it allowed him to distract him away from the focus that he should have been in that moment. Both of them are good things. And sometimes our priorities have to shift at different times. And as I listened to him, it sounded so familiar, you know, in times and meetings that I've been in churches or people that I felt like I needed to go see in my attempts to be a good pastor, which is a good thing, but missing recitals, missing birthday parties and that sort of things. And, you know, I'm talking about it as a pastor. You know what it is in the professional world as well, right? Your desire to get ahead in your profession, and or maybe your desire just to get ahead in popularity and go out with the guys and go out with the girls and not be there focused for you. And those are ways, you know, you may think, that's not harm. That's not big purple and red flashing neon lines with girls, girls, girls. So it's not as bad. Yeah, it is. It will distract you, and it will tempt you, and it will lead you down a path that is away from God and the person that you were created to be. And so what did Jesus do? Jesus quoted Scripture. Jesus set his mind immediately back on what his purpose was and who that purpose came from. And I would suggest we do a similar thing, that we allow ourselves this ability to shift. Now, you've heard the term multitasking, right? Multitasking. Well, it turns out that there's a fallacy there. You can't possibly multitask. And that's what brain scientists and all sorts of other, you know, people are researching. You cannot think about two things. You only do it once a time. Now, you might think of something for a second and you know, might switch. But in that second, in that moment, your focus is on that. And so, for example, if someone, and here's some examples of some temptations that can do a lot of damage to us. Maybe someone has hurt you. And they really have hurt you. Okay? And your focus is to go there, to go to a bad place, okay? And you think about all the thing, you know, I want to go out and I want to tell everybody that he or she knows just how evil a person this is. And then I'm going to go trench their yard and run over their, you know, their mailbox. There you go. Thanks. That's better. That's better than dog or cat. But thanks for helping out. But yeah. And so your mind goes there. How much damage can I put that person? So what I would say is like switching channels, if I can use that sort of silly illustration. But, you know, switching the channels. You know, you're on that channel. Switch to another one. Switch to remembering the times that people showed grace to you. The times when you might have hurt someone else close to you and that you were given grace. You know, when we focus on, and we switch that focus, then allows God's Word to get into us and to move us away from that. You know, or maybe it is one of those bad things. Maybe it is one of those purple and red flashing lines, or maybe it's a TV show or an internet site you were on and you literally need to change the channel or at least the website or whatever. You know, allow yourself to do that. And to because maybe in that moment you are justifying to yourself that this is okay or this is just once or this is whatever. And in that moment when you switch, you need to remember that God has called you apart from that. And God, you know, taking those steps backwards and away from God to move towards Him so that you might be reminded that you are His child. I don't know whatever it is that you might be facing in your life and in your world. The devil is clever. The devil schemes. The devil comes to us in so many ways. But God is so much powerful, so much more gracious. And if we allow ourselves to focus our life, to switch the channels, and to allow His voice to lead us, He said that He would never, ever leave or forsake us. I love the way this little passage ends, you know, where the angels come and attend to Jesus. To me, that is just an image, a picture of God's presence, God ministering to us, God never, ever leaving us or forsaking us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes when we are tempted, we fall. That is true. But the good news is that the grace of God is greater than all of our sin. Never forget that. God loves you. God forgives you. God walks with you. But remember this also. You are God's beloved children. And when Satan comes at you with this message of, if you are God's beloved children, you should be able to, or you ought to, or you must do, know who's speaking to you. And remember the words that come from God Himself. You are God's children. Never, ever forget that. Go, and God's love and peace. Amen.